I invite you to turn your Bibles this morning, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. I'm going to read through verse number 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The Lord laid this passage on my heart this week, and the contents of it. And it really bears down and focuses upon the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that is within us as saved children, as saved people. And so I just want to take a few minutes this morning to break this passage down, that we might slow down and hear what it says, what is the case within us as the Lord's children, those who are saved. And if there's any that are here this morning that are not saved, I pray that you would see what you need in this, that you would understand that there is a difference between being saved and not saved. There is a difference between being a child of God and not being a child of God. And that the Lord would just help us and bless us all together here this morning. The passage tells and declares unto us, for many. Many. It does say many, not all, for as many. And it's not speaking about, a great multitude or a great number, but it's making a delineation, okay? It's not trying to pull out what the number is. For as many. And so that means that there are some that are not, okay? But as a child of God, as someone that's saved, we are included in that group. Not all, it says, but as many as. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ declares something here, and we want to read this on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12, okay. Well, that's not the passage that I... Oh, okay, it is. Verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That means narrow, that word straight. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. A straight gate and a broad way. And in that broad way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So there's this narrow gate, there's this broad way, and he says many do go in at that broad way. Because straight is the gate, narrow. And narrow is the way, the path, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the Lord Jesus here speaking about himself. He is that narrow or that straight gate. He is that straight and narrow way. He singularly is the way. He is the way that leads to life. And there are few that find it. That's what he said. Now, when there's a thing that's said that's many, or there's a thing that's said that are few, immediately what we do is we want to know how many. We want to know the count. Well, Jesus deals with that, and we see how he deals with that over here in Luke 13. In verse number 22, Luke 13, verse number 22, and Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And so he's asking the Lord, there's few that are saved, Lord, right? There's few that are saved. Listen to the Lord's answer. And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And what's implied? I forgot that much of that English, but what's implied is you. You strive to enter in at the straight gate. The Lord Jesus immediately directs us to not try to understand the count. There's a broad way. There is a narrow gate and narrow way that is Christ. The Lord tells us there are few that find it, and that are many that are on the broad way that leads to destruction. And when this man begins to get a confirmation about the count, or the few that are that will go to heaven, the Lord says to him, you make sure you enter in at the straight gate. In regards to affairs of the soul and in eternity, you need to make sure about you first. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and is shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. So the Lord, he says, you make sure that you enter in by the straight gate. And indeed, the children of God are to be a witness of Christ. And that is not compromised in this, or not the case, and that we shouldn't have concern about others. But I tell you what, you need to be concerned about yourself first. Your soul, your sin, your need of Christ. The same thing for me. I speak to myself. That is imperative for that delineation that the Lord makes there in Romans chapter 8. For as many as we must be saved, you must be saved and belong to Christ because of what he has done. Don't be worrying about everybody else when it comes to your own soul. I know a man, even now, that his operation is justification of himself by what he sees is going on with everyone else. And what he needs to do is he needs to deal with himself before God. And I pray that the Lord would show him that and bring him to that understanding. So back in Romans 8, verse number 14, for as many as There are those that have been saved and are saved. And we, you that are saved, you have declared that the Lord has saved you. The Lord has touched us and visited us and shown us our need and His Son and the gospel and salvation by Him and Him alone. In this many that are saved, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The saved indeed have been visited by the Spirit of God and have the Spirit of God living within. And is indicated right here that we are led by Him. There's leadership by the Lord. This leadership in the believer, in the child of God, is by the Holy Spirit. And as it says here, led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This leadership of the Holy Spirit indicates sonship, a family to which we belong. Not estranged, not a servant, not one that's a citizen from a far country, but a son. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Is the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God within you? Need to find out, need to know that that is the case. Do you pause to ask Him about the decisions of life? Do you wait for clarity about which direction to go? Do you have enough of the Word of God in you that the Holy Spirit can use to guide you? It's a challenge this morning for all of us. Again, the Scripture knows nothing about feelings. We are emotional beings indeed, and our emotions are stirred, different ones are stirred different ways by the blessing and the truth and the work of God in our lives and the lives of others. It's not that we're stoics, but the feelings are not the working of God. They are a result, to whatever degree. One may laugh, one may cry. One may rejoice in heart, and one may just show it outwardly greatly. We're all different that way. But leadership is the key. Do you know that what you are doing in life and what you're following in life and what you're living in life is by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That leadership indicates sonship. And sons will be led by the Holy Spirit of God. This is a continual thing, not an turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. No, it's a continual thing in the life of the believer, the life of the child of God. It goes on to say that for this many as they are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's what the Lord does in His sons. And ladies, don't be offended at that. The Lord is looking at this from the eternal perspective. Indeed, the Lord has created two genders for the blessing that the Lord has given in the home and marriage, the procreation, and the result of that love in that home and that family for children, and for there to be a continuance and a filling of the earth for this time, for this age. But our Lord Jesus tells us that when we go on to glory, we're going to be like the angels. We're not given in marriage. There's not a time, there's not a necessity there for there to be children and for that institutional relationship of the marriage. We'll go on to greater things. It doesn't mean that your marriage to the spouse that you adore and love is less or wrong or to be held in no account. No, we'll be moving on to what the Lord has for us. This is what He has for us now, and it's wonderful. But He has something on for us then that will be wonderful too. So he says, we are the sons of God. And he says, because, verse number 15, that's what that word for means. Because you're the sons of God, we are the sons of God, because we've not received the spirit of bondage. The Holy Spirit of God is not the spirit of bondage. He's not the spirit of bondage that yields fear. Because what's the scripture say? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what we had before. The spirit of bondage. Fear is what we had before salvation. And the end of that fear is uncertainty regarding eternity. Fear is binding. It is indeed bondage, and that is not the spirit that he is. We've been saved from that. We have been made free. In John 8:36, the Lord Jesus declared, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's what we've been made. We have the free Spirit, the free Holy Spirit of God living within us that has shown us the truth, has taken away the scales from our eyes. And we, by the Word of God and by that Spirit that lives within us, we can see things in the eternal's perspective like God does. He reveals things to us in His Word, and by looking into His Word, studying His Word, seeking His face, praying, we can see things the way God sees things because He has shown us our sin in the way that He saw that. And He showed us Christ. And we've been redeemed. We've been made free. And He is not that spirit of bondage. Isn't it interesting how the world and how the depravity of man and how Satan sells the Lord as being binding, bondage. Isn't that interesting? You know, if Satan's saying it, the exact opposite is true. Amen? I mean, that's been the way it's been since the garden, right? If Satan says it, the exact opposite is true. And go, the Lord Jesus, in that same passage in John 8, He said to those Jews which believed on Him, which we touched on and looked at last Sunday, if you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth from the Word of God that came from His very lips and by His Spirit. He's not the spirit of bondage. He does not yield unto us fear, but truth. And because of truth, joy in the Lord and rejoicing in Him and great confidence in Him indeed. In 1 John chapter 4, Brother John writes in this epistle, and he declares unto us, here in verse number 7, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. There is somebody that's in bondage, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You want to talk about love? There is the definition of love. The Father sent His Son that we might live. He died. He came. He died. He suffered that we might live. Herein is love, not that we loved God, verse 10, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The suffering body on the cross in Jerusalem, and on the cross He suffered there in my stead, your stead, for our sins. That's what that word propitiation means. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, is matured in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. So by the Spirit of God, we're not brought into bondage. Indeed, we're made free, and we're not brought to fear, because he is not the spirit of bondage, but he has made us free, and he has shown us the love of God. We've experienced the love of God by virtue of the Spirit of God being put inside of each and every one of us. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He's the only Savior in the world that there is. There's many that claim to be, but he is the only one that is true. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and we and he in God. Confessing forth about the truth of what Jesus came to do and has done for you and will do for sinners that receive him. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Not the spirit of bondage, not the spirit of hatred, not the spirit of malice and vengeance, but the spirit of God, which is love and truth. Herein is our love made perfect. Here's how we grow up in love. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're his representatives. Jesus is despised and rejected. You can go to any state function and mention any God or any prophet in the world that you want to mention, but when you mention the name of Jesus, they curl their lips and curl their toes and frown with their faces. Because he is despised and rejected. And we standing in him will be despised and rejected too. But we know, and the message that we have is that there is love for sinners in Christ Jesus. There's forgiveness. There's no fear in love, verse 18. But perfect love casteth out fear. See, not the spirit of bondage. Not the spirit of bondage unto fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. And so here in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's who the Spirit of God leads, are his children, his sons. For we've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. We've been saved from that. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. We have been adopted. He is the adopting spirit. You know what the unholy spirit is? The unholy spirit is the spirit of murder. We saw that. Satan is the father of lies, and he murdered mankind, beginning with his very first lie amongst mankind. The unholy spirit wants the death of men. Not God. He's the adopting spirit. The Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit of God, we know the Father. Whether Jew, whether Gentile, it makes no difference. We have received, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby by him we cry, Abba, Father. Father, my Father, if you will. And my understanding here is that this is it could very well be a reference to a Hebrew word and a Greek word. It doesn't matter whether Jew or Gentile. By the Holy Spirit of God, we cry, Father, my Father. He's adopted us. By the Holy Spirit of God, we know the Father. whether Gentile or Jew, it makes no difference. He is our Father in heaven. By the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, we cry affectionately to Him, Father, my Father. We have the same Father of the only begotten Son, Jesus. Slow down and just think about that for a second. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, is in heaven on the throne of His glory in the third heaven. Our Lord Jesus is sitting there by Him on His right hand now. And His same Father is our Father. This whole world looks for fame and it looks for infamy. People following after the way of the world look to be associated with the famous. Maybe you have some pictures of, or you know someone that has pictures where they got a picture with a famous person. You and I are children of the most famous being and person that will ever be. No closer relationship. A closer relationship, closer than that we have with our spouses. Our Father. Our Heavenly Father. He knows us. He knows you if you're here and saved by name. He knows every intimate detail of your life. He loves you. He's cared for you this far, and He'll care for you all the way to glory, as we'll see. We're not relegated to a representative of heaven that's responsible for district so-and-so, and you fall in that district. But Jesus' Father is our Father, too. I tell you, that's what the Lord has done for us. We've received the Spirit of adoption, and we cry unto Him. Behold, what manner of the Father hath bestowed upon us, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, that we should be called the sons of God. Because of that, therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Jesus not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. As glorified as Jesus is, you and I will be glorified the same. Glorified the same in Him. Not the spirit of fear, not the spirit of bondage, but the Holy Spirit of God and the sons of God. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as Jesus is pure. It goes on to say here, the Spirit itself, verse number 16, beareth witness. He bears witness to us in our souls. Does He do so in you? Bears witness, speaks to us in our souls, tells us that we are the Father's children, gives us confidence in Christ Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. Does so by His Word, by the Word of God that He has given unto us. Does He bear witness in you? Does He bear witness in you? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We sing that song, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. He bears witness with us in our souls, in your soul, in my soul, that it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Do you have the Spirit of God in you, operating in you, speaking to you, helping you, convicting you, rebuking you, leading you? It goes on to say that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself, verse 16, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Again, a child of the Father, a sibling in that respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a grand, it would have been enough to have been made servants under the angels. It would have been enough to be rescued, to be servants under the angels. But we've been brought into the house of the Father. We've been made a sibling of our Savior by what he has done for us. And the Spirit shows us that. He says that he bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if a child of a father, of the Father, it goes on to say, and if children, then heirs. If we're a child of the Father, then we're God's heir. It goes on to say what? And joint heirs with Christ. If God's heir, then joint heirs with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're brought to that blessed plane. And then there's this. If so be we suffer with him, if so, and I pray that you, each and every one that's here is saved, and if you're not, see how you need. I pray that you, the Lord would open your eyes and your heart to see your great need of Christ. And if so, we must follow in his steps on earth. And what were his steps on earth? He suffered. Surely he had borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but it was so for our sakes. If so be that we suffer with him. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the Lord, through the apostle, writes to this church, and he says in verse 27 of chapter 1, only let your conversation, what you think, say, and do, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let it line up. That whether I come to see you or else I may be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And of course, we don't answer to the Apostle Paul, but we do answer to the Lord Jesus, don't we? How does he hear about our affairs? How does the Lord Jesus see about our affairs here at Olmsted Baptist Church? That you stand fast, standing in one spirit. That spirit is the Lord's spirit, the Holy Spirit. With one mind, whose mind is that? The mind and the thinking of Christ Jesus. Striving together, pressing and pressing and pressing towards the mark for the faith of the gospel, the faithfulness of the gospel. Our Lord has been faithful to us. We need to be faithful to him in this work that he's left us to do. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which we will have, which to them is an evident token of perdition. When the adversaries come upon the saints, being perfected in the love of the Lord, I pray, Lord, help us. We're not terrified by them, and they say they're just crazier than we ever thought they would be. It's an evident token of our destruction, our perdition. But understanding what the Lord says and what the Lord understands, but to you of salvation, our Lord was abused. He was reviled and rejected and afflicted. If so be we suffer with him, as we follow his steps on earth, but to you of salvation, and that salvation of God, as we have seen. Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, saved, his Son, the Spirit of God living within, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Paul said he was dealing with the same things. So, he says, if children, in verse 17 of Romans 8, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we follow in his steps on earth, that we may be also glorified together, then follow in his steps to glory. We follow in his steps here on earth for the rest of our time, and then we follow in his steps to glory, to be glorified. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and he has us. And whom he called, them he also justified, made us as if we just as if we've never sinned in Christ by his righteousness. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. His glory imputed unto us, given unto us, who were his enemies, but made his children, made his sons. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God, dear one? Are you led by the Spirit of God? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Have you been adopted by him? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Father, my Father. Do you cry unto the Father? Do you know and have and believe and trust and rest in that connection, that rescue by the Father through his Son? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. He speaks unto us that we are the children of God. And if children, the natural course is heirs, heirs of the Father, joint heirs with the Son, if so be that we suffer with him, we walk with him in this life, that we may be also glorified together with him in the life to come. How can this be? How may it be so with me? Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. Maybe you're here today and you don't have the Spirit of God living within. Maybe you're here and the Lord has shown you and that you want this, you desire this. Well, I tell you what, I think this passage is a wonderful passage that speaks to this. John chapter 3. Listen to what the Lord Jesus himself says here to this man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He's in the Sanhedrin. He's high up. He's a leader in Jewry in that day. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know there's something special about you. In a sense, I believe that Nicodemus says, who are you and what are you doing? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what he tells him. You need to be born again, Nicodemus, to be able to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that is, naturally, of his mother, and of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, two births, the natural birth that has caused all of us to be here on this earth and live our lives in that. We've been born of our mothers. That's that water birth. and of the Spirit. That's what this passage and what we've been preaching about here this morning. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He has said before, you can't see the kingdom of God. And without being born again by the Spirit of God, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, Jesus declares, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Mothers bear their children, and they're brought forth from their father and mother. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, that which is visited by the Lord in the Spirit. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind blows, and you can hear it, and thou hearest the sound thereof. The wind blows where it wants to, so to speak, and you hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's totally disconnected from us. We can see the effects of it, but we don't affect the wind at all. That's the way it is with the Spirit. He works his work. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? I just don't understand. Born again? Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master, a leader, sitting on the Sanhedrin in Israel and knowest not these things? Don't you know this? See, Jesus deals with Nicodemus in his office, in his place and position in Jewry. He deals with him that a thing like this ought to be known by this man in this position. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Nicodemus, I'm telling you the way it works. And you won't receive it. You don't understand it. You don't believe it. If I have told you earthly things about being born again, and you believe me not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Nicodemus, if you don't understand a foundational thing like this, being a leader in Israel, then how can we go any further? Nicodemus, no man hath ascended up to heaven. No man's gone up. But or only he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. There's only one that has come down, Nicodemus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must that very one, that Son of Man, be lifted up. That means crucified. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, you know the account. You know the account where Moses was told by the Lord because of the fiery serpents that were sent amongst the people in judgment of their complaining and their murmuring and that, and they were bitten, and many thousands were killed. And Moses went to the Lord and said, Lord, they need help, they need healing, we need deliverance. And the Lord told him, make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and whosoever looks shall live. You know that account, don't you? The Son of Man's got to be lifted up the same way, Nicodemus. And the record from the Lord, the declaration of the Lord is look and live. Look and live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to that tree, to that cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God sent not his Son, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world that first time, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, the sun, is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, rebuked by the Lord. They had not had sin unless I had uncloaked or revealed their sin, shown them their sin. That's what Jesus said. He's a shower of sin. The children of Israel in that desert, there west of Seir, Mount Seir, on that slope where they sin and transgress against the Lord, and they're murmuring in that, their sin was revealed by God. And the answer, the solution, the help was from God. Jesus, the Son of God, isn't it interesting that what was put upon the pole was a brazen serpent? And the one that hung upon the tree is the holy, righteous Son, sinless Son of God that shows us our sin and shows us and reveals our deliverance all at once. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, verse 20, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, comes to the Son, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Salvation is of the Lord. Sinners are called to repent and believe and trust in him. How can this be? How can it be that one can be saved, can be rescued, can have the Holy Spirit of God living within them? By salvation, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look and live. Look and live. Receive him. Receive him indeed. As the scripture declares in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Not born of the flesh, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, not from moms and dads on this earth, not by the desire of a couple to have children, but born of God. Born of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, join heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us.